Blog Talk Radio.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews, the Baron Sisters, Clay Evans, and Father Hayes and the Cosmopolitan Church of Prayer.
Give out the email address for the church. If you have any testimonies, prayer requests, you can send those to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. That's all.
All right. That is what is up. You know, when I say that we're not a Bible study, people, you know, listen to us and whatever. We can have the Lord put something on our heart to talk about it, so we talk about it and we try to back it up with scriptures.
know, and I'm thinking about some things, and if we, whatever we're going through or whatever the situation may be within our surroundings, pretty much that's what we pretty much try to focus on and try to help ourselves as we try to help other people. Take it or leave it. If you like it, fine. If you can't, you know, that's totally up to you. I'm going to share some things with you. I'm a very blessed man. I'm very, you know, for the most part, blessed. Cannot thank him enough for blessing me in all phases of my life. You know, it's not perfect, but I'm blessed. And when you're blessed and things is going good, sometimes you have to be careful. You got to be careful. Because there's a slippery slope, and I don't want to be hypocritical, and I don't want to be a person that when everything is good, you know, you ride that wave, but if something hits you and you don't know how to focus or you don't know how to deal with it, it's kind of one of the things, you know, you're not supposed to tell everything, but sometimes you have to confess the Lord lead and guide, especially if you're in unfamiliar waters. And in your Bible, you know, one of my favorite people to talk about, my wife, that always go there, is I like Zacchaeus. that's Luke, the 19th chapter. If you have it, just go there, get it for me, Luke 19. And it's very.
You want me?
Say that again.
What, you want me to read it for you?
No. I just wanted to get there. I'm going to get to my point in a minute. I'm going to talk about it, but it's Luke 19, 1 through 10. And what it says, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it in a minute, but I want to get a background about Zacchaeus. And then I want to share a story. Then hopefully we'll get out of your way. We're not going to be long tonight. But Zacchaeus, when you read it, Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10, it starts out by saying that he was rich. And he was rich, but he wanted to see Jesus. And when you do a study on Zacchaeus, he was not in the saved bunch. He was not perfect. And what happens is sometimes is I'm going to ask a question, because there's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there, and I relate with Zacchaeus, because sometimes, you know, I'm not perfect, and we make mistakes, we fall short, and what we have to do is we have to have a Zacchaeus mind, and we have to find Jesus. And sometimes we can lose focus, and I'm just on tonight. We can lose focus, and when you lose focus, you know, you have to go to Jesus. You can't go to your brother. You can't go to your sister. You can't. You have to find Jesus. And sometimes, because of the position, and I'm talking to myself, I hold. It's hard to find Jesus because of the people that are around you. So you have to isolate yourself, and you have to sometimes climb a sycamore tree. And every individual has to have this moment, because if you don't, we can get caught up with religion. We can get caught up with words. We can get caught up with cliches. If I go and I steal something on the carpet, I can say I'm sorry, but if I did it and I'm not supposed to be eating in the living room, but I said I was sorry, well, you had no business doing it. And just saying sorry is just a word of, okay, but you didn't have no business doing that. And you had no business being in that part of the house with a drink and you spilled it. Just because you say sorry doesn't make it right. It doesn't wash away the stain on the carpet. It doesn't clean anything up. And we sometimes as Christians, and I'm talking, and hopefully I'm making sense. And if I'm not making sense, just stop me and just tell me to be quiet. But sometimes we can get caught up, even the best of us, in a situation, doing something, and we can make a spill on the carpet. And when we spill it, we can say sorry and think everything is going to be okay because we apologize and because, okay, I won't let it happen again. But in the foremost part of it, you had no business in the living room with it. So just saying sorry isn't good enough. Sometimes you got to be like Zacchaeus, isolate yourself from people and have a conversation to try to seek him so he can clean you up and try to resurrect your wrongdoing. And in Zacchaeus, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 1, and it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm going to stop right there and go back to the first verse where it says that he was rich. He had everything. He had the money. He had the cliche. He had all that he wanted in life. He was missing something. And not only was he rich, but he was also robbing people. You know, he was a tax collector. He would take money, skim off the top. He was doing things that was dishonest, but he still wanted to see Jesus. And he had to separate himself from the people so he can have that conversation with Jesus. And sometimes in life, you know, regardless what you do or how you do things, you got to have a come to Jesus party. And I believe everyone that's listening to me all over, whether you're in Germany, Chicago, wherever you are, wherever you're listening at, we've all have made mistakes. We've all have messed up. And the thing about what I'm trying to say today, and hopefully I'll wrap this up in a few minutes, is cliche, you can say, Father, forgive me, and just say it. And don't put no meaning behind it. Don't put no actions behind the same. And then we just cliche. You really don't mean it. You really don't. It's just nothing. That's why when you have to separate yourself from people, you have to go alone and you have to, where you can see Jesus, just you and Jesus, one-on-one. It's not about the people. It's not about the people you hurt. So you can have that conversation. So then when you can say, Father, you know, he can go with you. He's going to repent of what you did. But at the same time, you have to make the confession of what you did, not to people, but to Jesus. And when you make that confession to Jesus, he's going to be just to forgive you. Regardless of don't no one else forgive you, he will forgive you. But you can't do it hard-heartedly. You can't do it just because, oh, you've been trained to say, I'm sorry. You've been trained to say, forgive me. You've been you can't do it that way. You just can't. Because not only are you fooling God, but you're fooling yourself. And that's something that I've noticed about me. You know, don't know why you just do it and not even think it's second nature. And when you find out, you have to do a self-examination. And only person that can do that examination is through Jesus. and when Zacchaeus was and he went to the house, and it says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. In other words, what Zacchaeus was saying in verse 8, if I've done anything wrong to anybody, he was saying it, And in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to the house, for much as he also is the son of Abraham. For my son of man is come to seek and to save what was lost. Sometimes we as Christians can get lost. We can. But if we don't confess what we do to Jesus and be sincere with it, it's just talk. It's just rhetoric. And you continue to make the same mistake. What I like about Zacchaeus is he had enough sense to separate himself from the people. And it was just him and Jesus. And he made his confession to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of other scriptures, but forgiveness that you can use and that you have. But when you, it's really between you and Jesus. And then once you make that confession to Jesus, then you allow the Holy Spirit to work on everybody else. And at their time, whether they want to receive it or don't receive it, it's not on you, it's on them. But you just can't just say it, and Jesus will talk to you. With that being said, anything you want to say right now, Wise?
I want to go back to, if I can, before you started with the scripture, you were talking about when you spill something and, you know, it's somewhere where you shouldn't have been and you spilled it. So now you got to clean up the mess. I'm going to take a little bit further than that. So I don't know. I guess I'll start it like this. I was born to teenage parents. My mom was 14 when she had me. And so my dad, you know, a teenager. And back in the day, I don't know if people still do it today. I know I do with my grandkids. But back in the day, you want to take a bath, you go in the kitchen sink. So I was put in the kitchen sink. I don't even think I was two yet. But I was put in the kitchen sink, and my teenage father was giving me a bath. And he poured boiling water in the sink with me. Needless to say, the left side of my leg is burnt. I have burn scars because of that. Now, I don't remember the pain, but I know it was third-degree burns on this left side. And when someone is burned, my mom also was burned as well. We had a kerosene heater when I was a teenager, and it fell on her. And I ended up having to save her from, you know, like really being burnt by this kerosene heater. So as far as this being burnt, it leaves scars. Now, I'm sure during the process of it healing, I'm sure it was, no matter what, it was still painful. And it was a process. It wasn't something that was healed overnight. Had to get, I'm sure, antibiotics, had to get medication, had to be wrapped right, had to be tended to properly. And a lot of the times in life, we have these wounds and these burns, if I can say it that way, that we deal with. And I'm sure as kids, you pick at it. I'm sure I may have picked at it, not knowing what I was doing. And I may have started it all over again. So a lot of times in life, we have these scars and these burns that we go through in life, and we have the visual to see the burns, the scars, we can see them, but prayerfully, in the long run, after a period of time, after you do everything that the doctor tells you to do, after you get the healing, and when I say doctor, I'm talking about the Lord. So you do everything, you're praying, you're fasting, you're getting in your word, you're getting some help from somebody who may have experienced the same thing that you've experienced, and you're getting that help. And, you know, it may be months, even years later, you can look at that scar and you can just be grateful for where God has brought you from. You can look at that scar and say, thank God it didn't consume my whole life. So while you're going through the process of that burn, of that pain, there's a scripture, Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And that scripture, I love that scripture. I've always read that scripture, and it's like, it's so true, because a lot of times there's no way I could make it without the Lord. I would be in a nut house right now. I promise you, y'all would be visiting me back home. It's the fourth floor. I don't know if it is around here, but I would be in a nut house somewhere. So I thank God for his keeping power. So if you have scars, if you have things in your life that you may be going through right now and it just seems so overwhelming and you don't know how to make it, I'm right there with you. But I do know that our God is faithful, and regardless of what a situation looks at right now, we'll be looking back at it saying, thank you, Lord, for making me stronger. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through, because if you trust him, he'll get you through. And I'm speaking to myself. So I know if I continue to trust him, he going to work it out. It's just getting to that process. And nobody can tell you when that pain from that scar is time to heal. And you can still feel the pain. So you have to go through that process. And that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
I never knew that you had a scar on your leg. Well, okay, I was going to check that out.
And so you ain't been paying attention to my leg.
Okay. Just lost my train of thought. Moving forward, about certain things that we have to do in life and certain things that we have
I do got another scar, too. I'm sorry. I was on a motorcycle, and I got a burn there as well, but go ahead.
Okay, where is that one?
My daddy did that one, too.
Okay.
He fell on his bike.
Okay. Wow. Okay. About the scars and moving forward, I guess the question is when I see Zacchaeus, and I'm going to wrap this up, is, you know, we know how to minister to people who are broken. We know how to minister to people who are hurt. And I guess the question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to leave it, and I'll probably pick it up another day, is how do you minister to the people who cause the hurt? How do you minister to the people who cause the pain? How do you minister? And when I look at Zacchaeus, because he hurt a lot of people because he was stealing from them, and I believe the reason there was a mumbling around the people because he's hurt some people, and the people that was around Jesus saw that, and the way Jesus went to him and went to his house. But the thing about that is Zacchaeus had an interest in seeing Jesus. He had an interest in making it right. He had an interest into salvation. And one of the hardest things to do is to minister to someone that caused hurt, harm, or pain. It's hard to minister to them. Now, for the people who've been hurt, it's easier to minister to them. Not saying that they're not hurting. It's just the person that causes the pain, sometimes it's hard to minister to them. And if you've caused the pain, or if I've caused the pain, like I said in the very beginning, it's easy to say, I'm sorry. It's easy to say, forgive me. Been trained to say that. If you have good parents and you do something wrong, the first thing we say, well, I'm sorry. And you go on from there. And the question that I have with that is, are you really sorry? Are you just saying it just to be saying it? So you can hurry up to get to what my wife is saying, the healing process. But if you're being sincere, and this is just my opinion, if you're being sincere, like Zacchaeus did, you have to move yourself away from everybody, and you got to have that conversation. You got to seek the Lord. And when you seek the Lord, he will find you sitting there in a sycamore tree. And he'll tell you when to come down. He'll tell you, let's go to your house. And what I get from that, and I'm just being led by the Spirit now, is when you're sincere with the Lord, he'll be sincere with you. He will take you to your house. And what I mean by that, well, you're comfortable where you can just talk to the Lord one-on-one with no one around. And he'll give you the medicine you need to move forward. It's not up to you to dictate to everybody else, well, God forgiven me and da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not for you. Your job is to ask God to forgive you and to seek him. And he'll tell you, like Jesus did with Zacchaeus, how to move, where to move, and allow everything else to fall into place. Now, I said all of that to say this. I'm not a person to do things publicly. I'm not a type of person when things is going good, you know, I'm always saying, Lord is blessing me. He's doing great things. And he is, for the most part of my life, he's blessing me tremendously. And like I said, this isn't your typical Bible study. And every time we do something or we go through something, you know, this is my outlet. This is where my sanctuary. This is where I can come and talk about it. And one of the things that I am, and one of the things that I know that I'm not a hypocrite. And not being a hypocrite is, you know, when you do something and you do something wrong, you have to confess it. And when you confess it, you know, you take the power away from the devil, and you confess it. You just confess it and you keep it moving. And then you allow the Lord to lead and guide you to do what you want to do. Now, with that being said, I am personally having to isolate myself right now because I'm trying to get in a better place with the Lord. And I'm trying to figure some things out. So, you know, I'm going to take a social media. I'm not going to be on no social media indefinitely. I have to apologize, and I have to apologize to my wife. And this is just between me and her, but, you know, publicly I have to say this to clear my conscience and to make sure that I'm in the right standing with the Lord. So, you know, when you cause hurt to someone and you do something wrong, and I'm not talking about spilling nothing on the carpet, but when you do something, you have to confess it. And, you know, tonight I'm just going to, and it's between me and my wife. I don't want people to think that we're doing something crazy over here, but, you know, I haven't been the best husband. And I want to apologize to my wife publicly, you know, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm sorry. So this is for me because I don't want to be hypocritical and come on here. And when you hear me speak 3 months from now, 4 months from now, regardless what the situation looks like, you can always say, well, Elder Oliver has been honest. He's not a hypocrite. And you may not know personally what's going on, but if I'm publicly apologizing, then evidently I done something I ain't had no business doing. And with that, there's a lot of stuff that comes with that. And I got to live with what I may have done, said. And it is what, you know, you're wrong, you're wrong. And, you know, now I got to minister to myself. And I have to separate myself from everybody so the Lord can minister to me like he did Zacchaeus. So I'm not broken. I'm not going to do anything any differently when I teach, preach, or what, you know, because God called me to do that. But at the same time, I'm also human. And as I live my life and as I do what I do, when I make mistakes, because I have sons and because I have people watching me, I have to be truthful with the Lord and then truthful with them. When you mess up, you confess it and you keep moving. I say that when I preach all the time. You confess it. And by me coming on my show that the Lord blessed me with and saying I have not been, I've caused some hurt, then that's just me. And from all the thousands of people that's listening, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of nosy folks trying to figure this, that, you know, and I get it. But my first thing is I got to confess my faults to the Lord. And I can do it on a public scene because the Lord blesses me publicly. And if I do anything that's not right, I just feel like, boom, you put it out there. And I'm quite sure people are saying, well, you putting the enemy, going to come after you 10 times hard. When you're living with the Lord and the Lord is on your side, the Lord got my back. I don't have to fight this fight. The Lord will fight it for me. All I have to do is be obedient and listen and let him lead and guide me into the direction I'm going. So with that being said, and like I said, I've done wrong. I've caused a little hurt, a lot of pain, or a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. I don't want to misuse my words or anything like that. But we're getting through it. We're going to get through it. And again, I'm not a hypocrite. This isn't a typical Bible study. But I needed to come on the air, and I don't think my wife had any idea what I was going to do or say. But because she is a trooper, and she is the love of my life, and anything that I ever do that would ever cause her any pain, even if it is spilling something on the carpet or slobbering on a pillow or whatever it may be, I never want to hurt my queen. And if I do hurt my queen, it's my job to fix it publicly, privately, whatever I got to do. And that's what I'm going to do because that is the love of my life. And I don't ever want to see her hurt, not just from me, but from anybody. But it's definitely a lot worse when it comes from me. Whether it's known or unknown hurt, it definitely, you don't want that with your with your wife. So for all the men out there, I'm not going to say I'm the best role model or the best person for anything, but take care of your wife and try not to hurt them. And don't think because it's not a sexual thing or it's not anything of, you know, those type of things, adultery, anything like that. It could be a word that you say that can hurt them. It could be something that you're doing that they're telling you not to do that hurt. Regardless what it is, you have to take inventory and stock on what you do and how you live your life. Me personally, I can get so caught up in this chaos thing and doing this and doing that and overlook something, not making excuses for me, but overlook. And then when you overlook, you see you didn't hurt somebody that you really care about. And it hurts me more than probably it hurts her, but because I was doing what I was supposed to do. So sometimes you got to take that step back, separate yourself from everybody, and focus on what the Lord is trying to tell you to do. With that being said, I'm done. You have anything you want to say?
No, just thank everybody for tuning in. Appreciate y'all.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to us. I told you we was going to be short. Let's try to have us out here by 7:30 on tonight. We'll be back next Monday with a different D&K topic. I just wanted to get that out on the table. And with that being said, tomorrow night we have Bible study at 7 p.m. on Thursday, you have Omar Zachary Ministries at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, we have Praise Tabernacle Church at 9 a.m. Also, we have a new show. We have Pastor Sam's every Friday now on Blog Talk from 7 to 7:45. He will be bringing the word. He's also going to be our teachers for the overseas Germany and London locations every Friday night at 7 p.m. So you will start seeing a little bit more, hearing a little bit more about Pastor Sam's. Also, we have Vanessa Dent for Vent Break on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. every Wednesday. If you want to wake up in the morning and get an inspirational word from Vanessa Dean and her Vent Break every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Wednesday morning. Also on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. we have Elder George Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Teaching every Wednesday. He is on, and every Sundays at 5 a.m. he's on Watchman on the Wall, Wednesday at 9 and on Sundays at 5 p.m. You have Elder Bazaar and his End Time Teaching. Also on Saturdays, you have the Overseer, Timothy Jackson, on Spiritual Sense of Life every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. 6 o'clock in Dallas, 7 o'clock here on the East Coast. So if you're not doing anything on those days, continue to listen to Chaos, continue to support us as we support everybody and everything that's going on that we try to support. Continue to pray for me and my family. And with that being said, I ask my wife, if she don't mind, closing us out in prayer.
All right. Father God, we come to you this evening just asking you for forgiveness for anything that we said, done knowingly and unknowingly. We ask that you just continue to be a light and a lamp in our life to lead us and guide us. We ask that you continue to watch over your children, keep them safe, covered in your blood. And we honor you on tonight and thank you for this new day. And Godspeed. God bless everybody and have a good night. Amen.